Christian. We'll be reading Jeremiah 23, 1 through 6 this morning. Page 725, Jeremiah 23, 1 through 6. It's entitled Restoration After Exile. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people. It is you who have driven, who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doing, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of the flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them, who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. I'd ask you now to turn to page 89 in the New Testament section of your Bible as we read from the Gospel of Luke 23, 33 through 43. We'll be reading Luke 23, 33 through 43. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leader scoffed at him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, If you are the King of Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, This is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And he indeed had been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He replied, Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart and mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Many of you know that one of my daily devotionals is Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. And this week, on November 21st, Oswald is talking about John 17:4, which is John's comments about the suffering of Christ. We see Jesus because suffering and death crowned with glory and honor. The greatest note of triumph that ever sounded in the ears of a startled universe was that sounded on the cross of Christ. It is finished. That's the last word in the redemption of man. Anything that belittles or obliterates the holiness of God by a false view of the love of God is untrue to the revelation of God given by Jesus Christ. Never allow the thought of Jesus that Jesus Christ stands with us against God out of pity and compassion. Never allow that as a thought. That he became a curse for us out of sympathy with us. Jesus became a curse for us by the divine decree. That was God's plan. Our portion of realizing the terrific meaning of the curse is conviction of sin. The gift of shame and penitence is given us. That is the great mercy of God. Jesus Christ hates the wrong in man, and Calvary is the estimate of his hatred. Well, a tough saying for Thanksgiving. Jesus crucified. On Christ the King Sunday. Wow. Couldn't you think of, you know, the resurrection? You know, his ascension into heaven. That would be more appropriate as a celebration. But why did Christ come? He didn't come to found an earthly kingdom like David or Solomon. He wasn't going to be a Messiah like they thought Moses had been, leading them out of the slavery and captivity into the promised land. But Jesus was coming to found a kingdom unlike any that they knew, any that they could even conceive. Read, and he, what was the page? Open your Bibles to Luke 23, 33 through 43, because I want to read page 89. Because as we walk through this, verse 33, oftentimes we hear there are things that, you know, he's hung between two thieves. Well, this scripture says, the NRSV says, Luke 23, verses 33 through 43. And it's on page what? 89. Verse 33. It says criminals. Because these guys have done something to deserve crucifixion. And that's reserved for the worst of crimes. Crimes against Rome, crimes like murder and sedition and things like that. So these are just not your common, ordinary pickpocket thieves. Verse 34, Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. This is Jesus hanging on the cross, and he's saying, forgive them, for they know not what to do. Because Christ has come so that God would forgive our sin because of his sacrifice. Next verse 35. And what I'm doing is I'm picking out those places where people either say he's the Messiah or King. And then at the very end, we know what the real Messiah and the real King is. The people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed, saying at him, he saved others. Let him save himself. If he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one. Again, they had an image of who the Messiah of God would be and what the Messiah of God would do. Well, like most times, we don't have the right image of what God has for the Messiah. Soldiers mocked him also, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. Again, what's their image of a king? Caesar, King Herod, governors, political. And also there was the inscription over him in verse 38, this is the King of the Jews. Well, why does it say that? Because Pilate told him to put that up there. The leaders of the church wanted to say he called himself King of the Jews because they wanted him crucified because of sedition, rebellion against Rome. One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. Well, of course. If you're the Messiah, now again, he says, if you're the Messiah, look at how many other times here. Let him save himself if he's the Messiah. Let him save himself if he is the king. There's doubt. All of these people have doubt. But the other one, the other criminal, looks at the other one and says, "Do you not fear God since you're under the same sentence of condemnation? Because where are you going? You're going to face your Maker." And he says something that each of us has to do. We confess our own sin. He said, "We indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Even the criminals on the cross knew that what they were doing to Jesus was a farce. It was a political, driven by the powers, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people that wanted to retain their position. I mean, how many of them had heard of the 4,000 being fed, the lame being healed, the lepers healed, the blind given sight, those that couldn't speak being able to speak, and even Lazarus being raised from the dead, or Jairus' daughter, or the Roman centurion who had a slave who was near death, and all he did was send someone to Jesus, and all he said is, I know faith. I know order and authority. You just give the word and my servant will be healed. And then he turns to Jesus. And just like it says we're supposed to do in Romans chapter 9, confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord. Believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. And that is our salvation. Then he says to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." By the sense of him saying, "your kingdom," he's calling him a king. He's recognizing him as a king. Now, there are some translations that say, he says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." But in each of those cases, he is acknowledging Christ's rule and authority and something more. You know, the thief knows he's not coming down off that cross alive. And he says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Christ looks at him and says, "Very truly I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise." Now that is a king pronouncing a future, a promise, a blessing. And having read the Oswald Chambers, you know, Jesus' last words on the cross are, "It is finished." He came to bring forward the kingdom of God. And it begins with you and me. It begins with us becoming Christians. It begins with us recognizing and accepting Him as our Lord. Because in session 2 of our Bible study, a couple of interesting things about the word Jesus and Joshua. See, Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew Joshua. Joshua is his original name was Hosea. Well, before he goes into, you know, and he's following Moses, and they've come out of the desert, and they're getting ready to come up to the promised land, and he sends 12 spies in, Caleb and Joshua goes. Well, he's Hosea until Moses renames him, you know, just like Abraham. Abram was renamed Abraham. Jesus' name's Peter, had been Simon, names him Peter or Petros. Moses renames Hosea Joshua. He takes the first name of God, Jehovah, and puts that on the front of Hosea, which is salvation. So now Joshua becomes God is salvation, or the Lord is salvation. So when you think of the word Jesus, the name Jesus, and names are important. When he looks at Jesus and he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. In the Jewish understanding, in the Hebrew understanding, he's saying, the Lord is salvation. He's calling on Jesus, the Lord of salvation. So he really, truly recognizes Jesus as Lord and Master. And in that, he is truly King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we celebrate Christ the King Sunday, recognizing that he is King in our hearts and in our lives forever. Shalom.